Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The time is now for the Pistons. They've been pretty good, about as good as you could hope while Reggie Jackson was hurt. It's been a little bit rocky, a little up and down since he's been back as he acclimates. He's not fully healthy. He's not fully ready. Not everything is exactly in place except for the schedule. This is the stretch where the Pistons can make their mark to show that they're a team that belongs higher in the Eastern Conference standings than they are, that they've been down in the standings because they've had to play through Reggie Jackson's injury. The Pistons' next seven games starting tonight: Timberwolves, 76ers, Mavericks, Wizards, Pacers, Bulls, Grizzlies. Yes, four of those games are on the road, but only one of them is on a back-to-back. And I would argue that maybe none of those teams are as good as a healthy Detroit. I mean, who is? Not Minnesota. They've struggled this year. A lot of people thought they'd be better with Tom Thibodeau, with their younger players, a year more experience. They are not. They've shown enough of that. Philadelphia, no way. Dallas might be the worst team in the league, might be worse than Philadelphia. The Wizards have struggled. They have not been up to par. They are definitely a worse team than the Pistons, than the healthy Pistons. The Pacers have not been. A lot of people were higher on them. They still might have some potential to come around, but I think it's pretty safe that the Pistons are better than Indiana. Chicago is the one. Yes, the Pistons just beat the Bulls, but the Bulls were coming off a back-to-back. They were on their fourth game in five nights. Chicago's a very good team. Jimmy Butler is playing like an MVP candidate. Dwayne Wade's having a solid season. Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson are underrated. Rajon Rondo, well, he has his ups and downs. The Bulls are a pretty good team. I'm not so sure whether the Pistons are better than them, even when healthy, but that's up for discussion. The Grizzlies, not with the injuries they have. Mike Conley will be out. Chandler Parsons, Brandon Wright, James Ennis, the list goes on of contributing helpful Grizzlies who have been out. I don't know if they'll be back by the time the Pistons play them on the 21st. But without Mike Conley, I think the Pistons are a better team. Yes, Memphis has won a lot without Mike Conley lately, but they've won close games. And there's a theory, the one that I generally subscribe to, that close games are coin flips. Some teams are going to win more coin flips than others, but they're still coin flips. And I do believe the Grizzlies are better in those late game situations than average, but not so good to support their record in these close games. I think they're playing above their head. I think they've had an easy schedule that's going to get harder, and that includes playing the Pistons. And I think they're going to come back to reality, although they just keep not. They keep defying these odds. So maybe there is more to it. We'll know more about Memphis by the time we get there. But I do think that's a team coming back down to earth. So that's seven games upcoming where the Pistons should be favored in most, if not all of them. It's a real chance for the Pistons to move up the standings before a tough stretch surrounding Christmas where they have the Cavaliers and Warriors. But I'm focused on this next stretch. I think this is where the Pistons can make their move, but they have to show that they're the team a lot of us think they can be. And it starts tonight against Minnesota. This is at Minnesota. The Timberwolves have been pretty woeful defensively, which is a shock. They have some good athletes, some players with defensive potential. They have Tom Thibodeau, who did wonders for the Bulls' defense right off the bat, got Chicago defending, has real sound schemes. A lot of the league has copied him, and I wonder if that's holding him back to some degree, that the innovations he made with overloading the strong side, if they're being copied so they're not as effective anymore. Whatever the exact reason, the Pistons really need to move the ball tonight. The Timberwolves defense will wilt. They will allow good shots. They'll foul. You can't just settle. That has been a problem at times for the Pistons, but not necessarily a huge one lately. So as long as the Pistons are still committed to moving the ball and producing good shots, they'll get them or they'll draw fouls. And I think the Pistons will be in good shape if they do that. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns is an incredible player, and he could be in line for a big game. I still think the Pistons can withstand that. He's been very good all year, and the Timberwolves have still been lousy. One other aside, Cole Aldrich, a backup big man for Minnesota, Stan Van Gundy said today that if the Pistons didn't sign Aaron Baines, they would have signed Cole Aldrich, and that probably would have been a good signing. The Clippers ended up signing Cole Aldrich that summer. That was in 2015, and he had a very nice year for them. He used his platform with the Clippers being in their rotation and turned that into a much more lucrative contract with the Timberwolves. I don't know whether the Pistons could have gotten him if they had struck out on Aaron Baines, if Aldrich would have gotten other offers he liked more. His deal with the Clippers was either the minimum or about the minimum. So I think the Pistons probably could have trumped that, but the Clippers offered a nice role that turned into a bigger contract. It might have depended on Aldridge's willingness to bet on himself, but I would think that given everything we know, the Pistons probably would have gotten him. The other game before we're back is against the 76ers on Sunday. Nerlens Noel, it sounds like he's targeting that for his return, which I think bodes well for the Pistons. The 76ers have struggled when they try and play too many bigs, but they're also not really open to the idea of not playing all their bigs. So you add one more to the mix now, it's probably going to make the 76ers a little bit worse. They're really at their best when Joel Embiid's on the court. He's having a special, quote-unquote, rookie year. And so if Nerlens Noel is playing with Embiid, I think it's going to make Embiid and the 76ers a little bit less effective in those minutes, boost the Pistons' chances of getting a win. And if the 76ers are getting their way, it's also going to boost Noel's trade value. That's what they're looking for. Don't give them a win when that's probably still not their primary goal, as much as they'd like it to be. You can't just flip a switch like that. So we'll get a handle on those two games, and then we'll be back on Monday to address the upcoming schedule, the rest of the stretch, to look back on those two games too, but to look at this upcoming stretch after that against Dallas, Washington, Indiana, Chicago, and Memphis. A couple more things we want to get to today, though, but first I want to talk to you about BetDSI.com. Do you love basketball? Are you ready to get into the action? Check out BetDSI.com. BetDSI.com has been in business over 20 years, and it's top-rated. It's safe. BetDSI.com has a great basketball special. Sign up today and get $10 for free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. BetDSI features great customer service, fast and easy payments of winning, and hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. They have UFC too and everything else in between. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI.com. Go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use the promotion code Pistons10. That's Pistons10 to get your free wager and start winning today. Stan Van Gundy, I don't think he was talking about Stanley Johnson in particular, but he had an interesting quote that he decides the playing time. It's up to him. And the players, he's open to players being mad at him about playing time. And he's said this many times, that you don't necessarily want a guy who's okay with not playing. You don't want a player who accepts not playing, which I think is the right attitude in general. But the player needs to be able to handle it productively. And this is what Stan Van Gundy is getting at. They can be mad at him, but don't be mad at your teammates. Don't take it out on your teammates. Don't sulk because somebody's playing ahead of you. I don't think he's talking about Stanley Johnson in particular. I think this is a general quote, and if anything, I think it might have been around a compliment to Stanley Johnson, who, from what I've seen, has been pretty supportive on the bench. I haven't kept my eye on him at every second. Maybe it's not always what you want it to be, But I have seen him up and cheering for his teammates, even during this rough stretch when he's out of the rotation, probably something that had never happened to him before in his life. I just thought that was an interesting perspective and a good perspective that it's not Darren Hilliard's fault that he's playing ahead of Stanley Johnson. That's up to Stan Van Gundy. And so, yeah, put the blame where it belongs. I just think it's another example of Van Gundy having a good, healthy attitude about how to approach these things. And lastly, there was a trade. I don't even want to indulge it and call it a trade rumor. It was a trade idea presented as a trade rumor that the Pistons could deal for Paul George. There is no evidence of this. I can't say it's not true. I can just say there's no evidence of it being true. If it is true, it's completely coincidental. SB Nation had a great article about fake trade rumors. Google that, read that, get some perspective on how to identify what is a real trade rumor, what is fake. But this Paul George thing, it came from a fake place, involved the Pistons trading several assets, not Andre Drummond for Paul George, which, cool. Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the Pacers have any interest in trading Paul George. I don't even think that package was enough to get him, this proposed idea package. But beyond that, you know, spend a second thinking, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to see Paul George as a Piston. That'd be a lot of fun. They'd be really good. And then come back to reality and say, no, the Pacers are not going to do that. They don't have this vested interest in helping the Pistons. And say, yes, I'm smart enough to know the difference between a fake news story and a real one. I can identify these things. I can check the legitimacy, and I'm smarter than to fall for this. So good for you for being there already. I know you didn't need me to tell you that. But just in case you need to show your friends who are a little bit more gullible, send them over to this podcast and have them listen. And I can say there is no evidence that this Paul George trade idea has any truth to it. Also, while they're there, they can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or follow it on Audio Boom. You can do that too. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. We'll be back Monday. Thanks for listening.